earth did Jesus come? Last Sunday, we began by asking, for whom did Jesus come? Was there a particular group of people? Was there an identifiable demographic that Jesus pursued? Well, we know from the scriptures that Jesus did not pursue the nobility. He did not pursue the wealthy or the well-respected. Jesus didn't even pursue those who were religious, those who were the leaders of Judaism. Jesus pursued, in his own words, those who were sick. Jesus pursued those who had unimpressive credentials. He pursued those who were regarded as undesirables, tax collectors, sinners. Jesus pursued ordinary Joes and ordinary James. Jesus pursued those who apprehended their need. Today I'd like us to look at what Jesus offers. What is it that Jesus gives to you and I that we can take with us all the days of our lives and beyond? What was Jesus offering? If we are in need, how does Jesus meet that need? What is it that you and I lack that Jesus provides? In his own words, Jesus assesses the situation, and I'll just repeat a few verses of what you just heard read. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." By inference, then, we discern by Jesus' own words that you and I lack something fundamental. We lack life. Yes, of course, we all have a pulse. We're all alive. And it may even be the case that we're enjoying a season of prosperity. We're enjoying a season of health and happiness. How can it be said that we're lacking life? Well, according to Jesus, a great many people on this earth are not living according to God's original design. We may be experiencing good things, things from the hand of God in some proportion, but according to Jesus, we're not living to the full. That the life we are living, the life that many are living, is a poor imitation of the life that Jesus came to this earth to provide. So we ask the obvious question, how are we supposed to be living? And to answer this, Jesus draws upon the imagery of the relationship a sheep has with a shepherd. And the equation is a simple one. In this analogy, you and I are the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. And life is meant to be lived in close proximity to our good shepherd. Now, I've heard some people suggest that if we do this, if we take Scripture literally and we try to live in close proximity to Jesus, then everything that's fun and exciting in life will be taken from us. There are some people out there who imagine that being a follower of Jesus will be a bore, that life is somehow less if we stay close to our shepherd. And yet this is so contrary to what Jesus offers us. He doesn't say that I've come to take away fun and joy. Jesus says, I came to this earth that you might have life and that you might enjoy life to the fullest. You sometimes hear people use that phrase, live life to the fullest. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just live life to the fullest. Well, to do that, Jesus says, you need to get close to me because I'm the one who helps you live life and enjoy life to the fullest. The Greek translation of that phrase can also be read this way, and perhaps your Bible reads this way. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Abundantly. The Greek word actually is a mathematical word, and it denotes surplus. So think of your financial position for a moment. We're about to close out 2008, and you're going over your books. Do you want to finish the year in a surplus position or a deficit position? It's a ridiculous question because all of us want to finish in a surplus position. Why then do so many people choose deficit living while Jesus is holding out surplus living? While Jesus is holding out abundant life, while Jesus is holding out life to the fullest, why do we choose deficit living when Jesus came 2,000 years ago to provide for us opportunities to live life in the fullest sense? Bryn, what does that look like? How can I even measure how I'm doing unless you tell me what the surplus living looks like? What does abundant life resemble? Well, abundant life is not necessarily about wealth. Abundant life is not necessarily about fame or a good reputation. Abundant life is not necessarily even good health or a long life. Abundant living is not necessarily a life with less suffering or less hardship. The closest thing that I've found to a biblical blueprint for abundant life is found in a passage of Scripture that is likely familiar to most of you, if not all of you. The blueprint for you and I to have abundant life is found in the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is the testimony of someone, King David, a sheep, who knows what it's like to live in close proximity to his shepherd. The psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in this I hear King David saying that his relationship with the Lord, his proximity being a sheep to the shepherd, this relationship is the source of David's contentment. And wouldn't you all agree that contentment is something that every human being longs for? I have never met a person who doesn't want to be content. We want it in all the aspects of our life. If we're married, we want contentment in our marriage. We want contentment in our relationship with our children and our parents and our siblings and our friends. If we're gainfully employed, we want contentment in the workplace. We want to like what we do for a living. We don't want to have trouble getting out of bed in the morning because we have contentment in our work. We want contentment when it comes to material belongings because if we don't have contentment, we'll buy more stuff and more stuff and more stuff and we'll have a deficit of some sort if we keep that up. We want contentment in our activities, whether we go out golfing or whether we work in the garden, whether we enjoy long walks or traveling afar. We want these activities to bring us a sense of peace and contentment. And more than any of these things, we don't want contentment to be connected to something like an activity or a workplace. We want it to be a part of us. We want contentment to be a part of the very fabric of our being. We want contentment to be a characteristic of who we are. King David explains that when he is close to God, he feels this. When he's close to God, he feels contented. And so David outlines his experience of contentment, and we see in David that the contented person has reference to five particular things. That there are five particular marks in the 23rd Psalm from which we can measure our contentment. Firstly, the contented person does not lack rest. The contented person does not lack rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep don't like to lie down, by the way. To lie down is to make yourself vulnerable. Sheep need to know that they're safe, that there's no chance of attack before they will ever lie down. But the presence of a shepherd makes us feel safe. It makes us feel that it's safe to gain rest. It's safe to lie down in the green pasture when the shepherd is near us. And without the Good Shepherd's presence, we're going to be anxious. We're going to fret about many things. We won't want to go to bed early. We won't want to rest. We won't want to take a break. We won't want a sabbatical unless the Good Shepherd is nearby to tell us, lie down in this green pasture. The contented person does not lack rest. Secondly, the contented person does not lack guidance. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Again, we think about sheep, and they have two sort of contradictory patterns. It's well known that sheep like to wander. Left to themselves without any direction or any shepherd, sheep will wander about without any real rationale to where they are going. So with the presence of a shepherd, a sheep has focus, guidance to go in a particular direction that will be helpful for them. But there is another aspect of being a sheep. Sheep, when they find a field that they can graze on, tend to want to stay put. And they want to stay put and graze, even when the field is fully grazed and there's nothing left, no nourishment left in the field, they won't want to go. Because they remember this is the place where they get food. And it hasn't set in yet that there's none left. And often this can be the case in the lives of Christians. We came to a point in our life where we realized we were wandering. There was a point in our life where we realized, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And so we allowed the Good Shepherd to guide us, to lead us into this pasture where we can graze and feed. But some of us have stayed put. And the shepherd has wanted to lead us somewhere else. He's wanted to take us further down the path of righteousness. And we're saying, well, I was fed here once. Can't I just stay here? I got nourishment here. And the shepherd says, no, I'm here to guide you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. The contented person does not stay put. They do not lack guidance. Thirdly, and this is, if we could rank these, this is one of my favorite. The contented person does not lack companionship. The contented person does not lack companionship. And I'm not talking about human relationships here. Neither is David. I'm not talking about a spouse. I'm not talking about having a best friend. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. David had lots of human companions, spouses, friends, soldiers. He had lots of human company. But in that deep, dark valley, when no one else was around to help or to listen, David recognized that he did not lack companionship of the best kind. And you notice early in the psalm, he refers to God, He makes me lie down. He leads me beside. He guides me. But in the dark valley, it's you. It's closer proximity. David gets closer to his good shepherd, and he says, you're with me. I won't be afraid. You comfort me. The contented person does not lack companionship. We may feel alone, but according to the scriptures, we are never, ever alone. Fourthly, the contented person does not lack provision. God, the Good Shepherd, is not here simply to hold our hand and to make us feel good, but He actually gives us tangible resources, things to help us along through the dark valley, along the paths of righteousness. David uses the language of metaphors. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And here David is drawing to his mind, using these images, all the things that God gives to him. The practical resources that are sufficient to help David along. The contented person does not lack provision. Fifthly and finally, The contented person, and this is tops on the list, the contented person does not lack a heavenly home. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a most blessed reality, to know that when the course of our life is done, that when death takes hold of us, death does not get the final say. And this is why we find that people can approach death so bravely, so peacefully, with contentment in their hearts, because they realize that they do not lack a heavenly home. Followers of Jesus do not lack for a home in heaven. Why on earth did Jesus come? He came to give us these things. He came to be the good shepherd. He came to help us live in the surplus here and now. He came to provide a way for us to be in fellowship with God for all eternity. And in the framework of this kind of coming, we will be lacking without Jesus. Without Jesus, we will lack rest. We will be perpetually tired and feeling on the brink of burning out. Without Jesus, we will feel that our life has no sense of direction. We will lack guidance. Without Jesus, we will feel alone. That we will feel that no one is our advocate. No one is there for us in the day of trial. We will feel a lack of companionship. Without Jesus, we will lack provision. Without Jesus, we will lack a heavenly home. In short, without Jesus, without a good shepherd, true and lasting contentment will elude us. Because Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago for the express purpose of giving us life, life to the fullest, so that without him, we don't get that. Friends, I don't want contentment to elude you. I don't want any of you to be lacking in good things. And the amazing news delivered at Christmas is we don't have to be without. We don't have to be without those things that we need most. Jesus wants to give you life. He wants you in the here and now to enjoy life to the fullest. And then as you follow him, you will find yourself contented and ready to receive in your day your heavenly home. At the end of the day, Jesus is saying, I came to be enough for you so that all the other things would not be necessities, that I'm enough. Stay close to me. I'm your shepherd. And if you stay close, you'll lack no good thing. That's the amazing, positive declaration given at Christmas. That Jesus is enough for you and for me. Amen.